Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. My name is Bob Dancer. Richard Munchkin will not be with us here this week. He is off somewhere playing the secret game. I'm joined by Seth Polonsky, Vice President of Corporate Communication for the World Series of Poker, which begins at the end of May. This year's event happens to be the 50th anniversary of the World Series, which creates all sorts of extra celebratory events. Seth Polonsky, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back.
Great to have you here. All right, so we have a number of new events. Let's go through some of them and see where we go. Let's start off with an early bird event called the Big 50. How's that different than the Colossus, and what is it?
Yes, so that's our huge event to commemorate the 50th annual World Series of Poker. Since we date back all the way to 1970, this is our 50th iteration of the event, and we always like to open big. So our opening weekend event that really kicks off in earnest May 30th is this Big 50. It's a $500 buy-in event. We guarantee the winner $1 million. We guarantee the prize pool will be $5 million at least, and we also will give everyone a rake-free entry, meaning all $500 of your entry fee goes directly into the prize pool. So we've never done anything like this, and on top of all that, you're talking about for $500, you get 50-minute levels and 50,000 in starting chips. So it's as great a value offering that we've ever had at the World Series of Poker.
Will there be rebuy opportunities?
There is re-entry opportunities because there are four separate flights because we anticipate a huge turnout in excess of 10,000 players to participate in this event. So we will allow people the opportunity, if they are eliminated in one flight, the chance to re-enter.
Okay. Your early high roller event this year is $50,000 rather than $100,000 entry fee, presumably to honor the 50th anniversary. Near the end of the World Series, they also have a 100K high roller event. Other than the fact that there's two of them, is there anything unusual about these?
Well, the opening weekend one we haven't really done in a while. This is kind of what the modern day World Series of Poker is. You'll have the $500 buy-in Big 50 event, and the same day, you'll be offering the $50,000 high roller to celebrate our 50th annual. So you basically get both the mainstream average Joe player and all the big name pros mixed in together at the Rio to help kick off our 50th event.
Okay. The number eight field is a 10K short deck, no limit hold'em. Now, short deck takes away the twos through the five. Flushes are better than full houses. Some places trips rank greater than straights, and some places straights rank better than trips. What's it for you guys?
Yeah, straight will be better than three of a kind for us. This is a new event to the World Series of Poker. We've never offered it before. It's a fairly new game that has sort of captured the imagination of the public. And we're not sure it's meant for everyone, but at the $10,000 buy-in level, it seems to have enough people playing it that we thought we'd add one to the event this year, and we're excited to see how it works playing with a 36-card deck instead of a 52-card deck.
Are there any plans to put it on the online World Series of Poker sites?
Not currently, but we'll like we typically do, we add it, we offer it, we analyze it, and we'll decide what the future of the event holds after we've run it and get a sense. I mean, it's something you got to remember, it's different for dealers, it's different for floor staff, it's new to players. So you just got to make sure everything can be executed properly and not sort of overindulge because of the interest to make sure you can execute properly. So we think it'll be a great addition, and we'll see if it stands the test of time after we run it.
Okay. The number 15 event, 10K, no limit hold'em, heads up. Limited to 512 players. That seems like a big number. Are you expecting to sell that out, or presumably if you don't, then it's random as to who gets the first round by?
Yeah, we typically get up to 256 players there. Ideally, you try to keep the numbers right where you can everyone plays and you don't have to have buys. But in this sort of March Madness bracket style heads up format, you got to have these numbers. So at the end of the day, this is a really special event. Justin Bonomo, who went on to have an incredible year last year, won this event. And it really, you know, it's mano a mano poker, and it's fun to watch, and this brings out all the big names. And we expect, you know, somewhere around 256 to participate.
So, but if you get 200 and anything more than that.
Yeah, we do a unique thing. We'll draw 128, give first round buys to people over that, refund some money to people there. It all works itself out. There's a format. We've run this event for many years, and it works out fair for everyone. And at the end of the day, it always seems to be a deserving champion.
Good. Number 22 event, 1K, double stack, high limit, hold'em. This doesn't sound so unusual. What makes this unusual?
Well, what's new for us at the World Series of Poker this year is greatly increasing the number of starting chips we offer players to participate. So this is going to happen across the board for all our low buy-in, no limit hold'em events that have proved to be so popular. But people assumed, oh, they're just going to add more chips and they're going to take away levels or gimmick the structure where it all works out to the same. But that's not the case. There's plenty of levels in here. These events will be deeper. In fact, in a lot of cases, we've had to change events from three-day to four-day events for what we anticipate will be the length of time it takes to reach a winner. But so for this event 22, the double stack, this is a $1,000 buy-in event, very popular price point, no limit hold'em, the most popular game. And instead of the traditional number of chips you'd start with in a $1,000 buy-in event, we're going to give you double that. So that equals 40,000 in starting chips for this event, which is a huge number of chips for this buy-in level. And you'll start at we're playing Big Blind Annie this year all the way through in our no-limit game. So blinds will be at 100-100 and give people plenty of play.
So about Big Blind Annie, that's going to be on all of the games?
All the games with blinds, like no-limit hold'em.
Okay. When you have Big Blind Annie's, it can be a bit awkward when you change tables, such as a table gets shorthanded and they break up and they send them elsewhere. And if you just paid the blinds on the table that broke up, and you sit down and you just have to pay the blinds on the new ante, it'll strike people as unfair. Is there anything that can be done to smooth that out, or is that just luck of the draw?
It is the luck of the draw. It happens no matter what, how you've done the blinds. That's a possibility. I like to take the positive approach, and you can get a good amount of chips in a short amount of time if you get put in that predicament. Because when you're sitting there in the big blind and you're paying the big blind ante, you've got a lot invested in the pot. Where no one else has anything invested in the pot besides a small blind, and you're much more invested than that person. So the odds are people would have to put in a lot of chips to contest you, and Big Blind has an advantage in that spot. So it's a format that's proven very popular. Everyone hates playing poker when the guy next to you is busy on his phone, forgets to ante. The guy three away from him is busy and chatting with the dealer, not paying attention, not putting in his ante, and it just slows the game down tremendously. So Big Blind Ante has just been a great improvement in terms of the pace of play, so everyone can just have fun and not fight with each other on who did or didn't put in an ante.
Okay. You have a couple different events where it appears to be that you're combining No Limit Hold'em and Pot Limit Omaha, and you rotate between the games. Have you been doing that for a while? Why did you pick these particular games? And
like, it is fairly recent. Yeah, we just added recently because these are the two most popular games played today: No Limit Hold'em and Pot Limit Omaha. And to have a nice mix, over half our games are No Limit Hold'em, where almost everywhere else in town is 95% or more No Limit Hold'em. So we have the greatest variant mix of anyone out there. But this is just a fun way to give people both games in one event, and we've done it a couple times throughout the schedule at different buy-in levels for those folks that are most interested. Some people only play these two games, and that's why it's on the schedule.
Okay. You also have on the schedule two different events, which are Super Turbos, where Super Turbo Bounties, where every player gets a bounty of approximately a third of the buy-in. How new is this concept?
It started last year, very new. Became very popular right away. People like a couple things. The concept of winning a bracelet in a day, which is a long-forgotten concept. All bracelet events in the olden days used to be one day. But structures have gotten so good, and they start with so many chips, and the levels are so long that, you know, it's now 3 or 4 days, the typical event. Some people just don't have that time. So the ability to come sit down, get hot, run good, and be holding up the bracelet and the prize money at the end of the day is something that proved very popular last year. So we brought it back, added a different buy-in level as well. And the other component to that you mentioned is the bounty, which means that every player sort of has a bounty on their head, and a portion of the prize pool is paid out for every person you knock out of the tournament. You get their bounty chip, and that has an equivalent value, and you can collect as many bounty chips as people you knock out throughout the event and can get money back that way. So people love that too, because they may buy into the event for $1,000, knock five people out and get 1,500 in bounties, before they've reached the money anyway. So it's another way to sort of get some of the pot back to them in a different format. Proved very popular.
So if two players are both all in, do they put their bounty chips in the middle too?
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. So if you're all in, so is your bounty chip. And if you're covered and have less chips and get knocked out, you give your bounty chip to the player. He collects it in the pot for winning the hand, and then later redeems that for the cash equivalent.
Very good. We have a Salute to Warriors, which appears to be the profits go to organizations associated with supporting our armed forces. Is there more to it than that, or what is this about?
Yeah, it's a new event for us. We're working with the USO and other veteran organizations. Caesars is very has very close ties to military, both in terms of hiring veterans, doing stuff for veteran spouses, since Vegas is a big market with a lot of Air Force and others nearby. So we've created this event, and it's a $500 buy-in event, so a lower price point event where $40 of each entry is donated to the USO and other veteran organizations. So there's still a lot of money in the prize pool that people can win, but a portion of this will be held 8% to the veteran charities.
Is this 8% out of the player pool, out of the rake, or some of each?
It's some of each.
Okay. Event number 81, $1,500 winners only, no limit hold'em. That sounds like a pretty tough field. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's another unique event only brought out for the 50th annual. We wanted to celebrate all the champions in World Series of Poker history. There's 1,078 individuals who have each won a gold bracelet in the past 50 years. And as a result, they're the only people eligible to participate in this event. So it's a closed event, invite only, as it were, for anyone with a bracelet. Yes, they're all our former champions. So this will kind of crown the champion of champions. We've made this event rake free as well. So the benefit for the players participating in this is all the money they put in goes to the prize pool to be won. But it's expected to be, a who's who of poker Illuminati combined with sort of the one-hit wonders of our past that are all eligible to play. We won't get 1,078 of them to show up. Not even all of them are alive, but it should be a fun event and, another way to celebrate our 50th World Series of Poker.
Would you expect a lot of these guys with bracelets, say, would play in the $50,000 Players Championship and some of the other really big ones. Would you expect them to participate in a $1,500 event as well, or is that just below them?
Yeah, this is the majority. This price point is right in the sweet spot of the majority of players. There's actually a really small pool of people that play sort of $10,000 buy-ins and up. That number is really 400 players. This is a great price point, and the majority of the bracelets won in the WSOP's history are at this price point. So we contemplated making this 5,000, kind of splitting the difference. And at the end of the day, we wanted to be more inclusive and try to encourage participation and settled on this price point.
Okay. Several years ago, you introduced Colossus, and it was a huge hit. And then recently it hasn't been as popular. It used to start off the event, but now you have the big 50. So you're putting it pretty much at the end of the event. How is it going to be different this year than previously?
All right, good questions. There are actually a lot to this. First of all, it's still worldwide. Last year was the largest poker tournament ever held in terms of participants. So it's a wildly successful event, had over 13,000 participants last year, but its inaugural year did have over 22,000 players, which is the record for most ever to participate in a live poker tournament. So it's been a successful event, but one of the problems in a live poker arena, having an event this successful has operational challenges. We only have 200,000 square feet of convention center space that allows us to put 500 poker tables down, which is the hugest poker room in the world while it's running, but it's still limited. So 500 tables times 10 guys a table, you can really only seat 5,000 at a time. And what happened was we had to evolve the structure into a worse place in order to try to fit the people in that we anticipated coming. And with the tweaks to the structure to make it less valuable, the players found it less valuable to participate. So What we have done is we made Big 50 the opening weekend event. Again, it's going to be a huge event. It won't shatter the record for most participants because we simply can't fit as many people in the Big 50 because the structure is so good with 50,000 starting chips and 50-minute levels. So all that goes to say is we still believe in the Colossus brand. It's still a meaningful event to people. We've adjusted the price point down to $400, which is the lowest price point on the WSOP schedule that you can play for a bracelet this year, and we moved it to midweek. It's going to start on Wednesday and Thursday, June 26th and June 27th, and we've bolstered the structure back up, so you're getting 40,000 in starting chips and 40-minute levels for $400. So that will do wonders for this event because nowhere else in town can you play a $400 event and get 40,000 starting chips and 40-minute levels. So we expect this to do well, but we're putting it midweek as we want to see if we can create what we consider a tentpole event in the middle of the week and see if it'll draw. So we're excited about sort of the reincarnation of the Colossus and Big 50 moving to the front of the schedule, and we'll find out late June whether our decisions proved prudent or not.
Very good. The main event, July 2nd, which is the same, approximately the same date as it started last year. Any changes in the main event itself?
There's really only one minor change. And that is players can buy in as late as the start of day two. Previously, registration stayed open for four levels, but they play five levels a day because they're two-hour levels, and we decided with more starting chips and a better structure and all the things we've changed here to these events that there's still plenty of value to buy in on the start of day two. So some people who want to save themselves have less time to come out. That's one of the biggest issues we have with the main event. It starts July 3rd, and it runs through July 16th. So a lot of people don't have that much time to take off work. A lot of people, they start, and if they're doing well, then obviously they're closer to an $8 million first-place prize, and taking an extra day or two off work always seems to work out. But this was a way that people can actually start this event now as late as July 7th and make it much easier for them where they can kind of compete in this entire event and really only have to take off a week of work. So this was a huge event for us last year. Entrance-wise, the second most ever, 7,874 people put up the $10,000 entry free, so we had over $74 million being contested in this event last year, and was another huge success. So ESPN's back to cover it, and we're hopeful for another big turnout.
Has it been calculated approximately the percentage of this buy-in that you'll be blinded off if you actually do sign up at the end of day two?
Well, you have to sign up by the start of day two, so you'd start in level six.
Oh, the start of day two.
Yeah. Okay. So start of day two, and the blinds will be at 300, 600, and you're starting with 60,000 in chips. So you still are coming in with 100 big blinds at that point in the tournament, and they're two-hour levels. So it's still the greatest value tournament there is. And what's happened is one of the changes that has occurred, when you provide the players more value with chips and structure and length of levels, you can actually keep registration open longer because there's value for players to save some time playing for their sanity, not have to play for 12 hours a day, rest up in essence, and show up late. So a lot of players have chosen to do this and take advantage of late registration. And with the main event, most of our events are actually available for eight levels of late registration. So with the main event really have to come in level six, it's not even as long as other events. And we don't think a lot of people will take advantage of this, but we think it could help get a few hundred people who have work time commitments that they want to work around and still participate.
Very good. We're talking to Seth Polansky from the World Series of Poker. We're taking a brief break for some commercials, and we'll be right back. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The May promotion of the month is the $500,000 Swipe, Spin, and Win. On Mondays through Thursdays, beginning May 6th, play 300 points between 3 a.m. and 11:30 p.m. and spin the wheel. This is a virtual wheel. Prizes include free play up to $50, bonus points, or food vouchers. After your play, stop by. If it is bonus points or free play, it automatically goes onto your card. If it is food vouchers or a gift card, $25, they call it a resort card, you need to go to the club to pick that up. There will be a hot seat promotion on Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th. Every 3 minutes between 8 a.m. and midnight, some player receives $100 in free play. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Ultimate X Wheel Poker. In this game, you bet 10 coins per line and are awarded bonuses this hand to be played off next hand. The difference is instead of 12x being the multiplier you earn for a full house, as you do in regular Ultimate X, this time you spin a wheel. The wheels are amounts of coin, 250, 500, 1,000, or 2,000, and on the other spaces are multipliers between 14x and 20x. If you earn the multiplier, you get the normal pay for the full house, typically 45, although it doesn't have to be, times whatever multiplier you have. If you earn a point bonus, you get the normal pay for the full house times the existing multiplier, and then the bonus times the existing multiplier. As in regular Ultimate X, the Deuces Wild variations, it's the straight flush that triggers the big bonus rather than the full house. This will require a different strategy rather than regular Ultimate X, as the multipliers for full house are bumped up and other things need to be lowered. In most Ultimate X versions, 5x returns more than 3x. 5 play returns more than triple play. It is not always the case in the wheel poker version, as sometimes the 5 play version returns less than the triple play. The amounts are listed on videopoker.com. Okay, we're back talking to Seth Polansky. How many events will be televised?
Just the main event will receive airtime on ESPN this year, as has become the standard, because they've greatly expanded that coverage from 2-hour package show to showing live footage every day of the main event starting day one. So you can turn in to ESPN or ESPN2 July 3rd to July 16th and find hours upon hours of coverage of the main event. We expect over 60 hours of live TV coverage this year alone from the main event. And then our partners at PokerGo will be our official live streaming partner, where the majority of the other bracelet events, almost every day for the 50 days of the World Series of Poker, will be covered.
In addition to live, in the past, ESPN has shown packaged with Lon and, forgive me.
Norman Chad, yep.
The name of your funny man, Norman. All right. So is there going to be both the live and the packaged, or is it all going to be live?
We're keeping that as well. So all fall long, for those that didn't tune into the live coverage or want to see condensed packaged versions of what was shown live, the story unfolds that way as well, September, October, and November on ESPN.
On the live versions, how much delay is there between the actual event and when it shows on the air?
The imposed from Nevada gaming regulators is 15 minutes, but ESPN typically starts with a 30-minute delay just to give themselves a nice buffer. So depending on how the hands go and commercial breaks and other things, you could be anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes behind what's actually live at the Rio.
Okay. Will the shot clock be used on all events or just some of them?
Just a few of the events, just the higher buy-in events where the people playing those events are play poker day in and day out for a living and have made millions of these decisions over their lifetime. The World Series of Poker is a special poker series that brings people out playing their only live poker of the year. They're coming from all over the globe. Over 100 countries have participants in the World Series of Poker, and we still think the best thing for that community is for them to feel comfortable and take the time they need to make the decisions they need to make. We do have rules in place to address anyone who is stalling purposefully. However, majority of times, everything self-polices itself quite well, and people make decisions in a straightforward manner that doesn't impede the progress of the event.
And if so, but if they do go slow, somebody can call for time? Or
yes, other participants in the event may call clock on another participant, getting the dealer to begin a countdown to make the decision of that person happen in a set amount of time. So that indeed is available to players, and must tell you, we could probably count on your hands over the course of millions of hands dealt all summer that gets put to use. Typically, players are very courteous to other players. It's really no different than a golf tournament, where maybe a player gets himself in a kind of a pickle of a shot and is on the edge of the water and has to take his shoes and socks off and really walk up and down the green and see what his options are. The other players playing with him, they're not thrilled that they have to wait, but at the same time, they completely understand if they were in that situation, if their tournament life is on the line and they're making a decision that is worth a lot of money, they're going to give the other player the chance to think through everything that he needs to think through before making his decision, and poker's no different. So there's been some Hollywooding from time to time. Some people freeze under the bright lights of ESPN or are looking for extra camera time, et cetera. We're very confident and comfortable the rules that we have in place can effectively address anything like that happens. And for the majority of the play, people want a fun experience. No one likes someone stalling purposefully, and we've greatly eradicated that from our events.
Okay. You have definitely had that problem in the past, though, but you're convinced that you have a handle on it.
It's only been a problem in the past for a player at a table at a point in time. When you're running 500 tables and have 5,000 players in there daily playing over a million hands a day, when you look at it on a percentage basis, it's really a negligible percent. So it doesn't make sense for us to institute a shot clock. Let's take the NBA 24-second shot clock that's been in use for 65 years now, but if you gave poker a 24-second shot clock, you're just giving nine guys the chance to take 24 seconds on every decision they make before every betting round, and you would actually greatly lengthen the period of time because the correct math move would be to wait 23.75 seconds before making your decision, so no one could get any information or tells off you on how you react to getting the cards out. So the reality is a shot clock, in our opinion, is not something that solves much in poker, and it's better to have rules to affect when there is someone who is purposely stalling as opposed to making every hand be longer because you've imposed some sort of time limits on it.
Okay. World Series of Poker has an online presence in Nevada and elsewhere. How does the number of World Series of Poker online events this year compare to last year?
It's up big. This is our biggest growth. Well, 9 online events this year, up from 4 last year. We sort of heard pretty clearly today's generation of players. You've got a generation now. Online poker started in 1998. So it's been over 20 years that online poker has been played. And there's a whole generation of people that grew up on the game, and that's really their game of choice. That's what they prefer. And so what we found with our offerings last year and previous to that were there wasn't enough of them, and there was no consistency in the scheduling. So you weren't sure when they were going to show up and all that. So every Sunday during this 50-day World Series of Poker, there will be a online World Series of Poker Gold Bracelet event starting at 3:30 local time. And for those that want to stay in the comforts of their own home and win a bracelet, you'll have 9 opportunities to do so this year.
And you will need to be geographically within Nevada to do it, or?
That's correct. Correct. Geographically inside the border. Don't have to be a resident. We have plenty of international players and the people that are in town for the World Series of Poker. Some are playing live poker at the Rio while on their iPads playing the online events. Completely okay. So you just, the laws require you to be inside Nevada borders when you're participating.
One drop. This year, the one drop event is $1,111. Sometimes it's been 100 times that big. Sometimes it's 1,000 times that big. How is this year's size determined?
Well, we've always had the little one for one drop dating back to 2013. We started a relationship with one drop in 2012 with $1 million buy-in event. So every even year is when we have the big buy-in version of the event. And every odd year, we just have the little buy-in version, this $1,111. So we're in an odd year, and that's what dictates it. This is just more managing what we believe are the bankroll abilities of the participants, and having it every year is too frequent. So this is more like the Olympics and comes around every couple of years.
Very good. The Amazon room. There have been complaints about air conditioning and heating problems in past tournaments. How has that been addressed?
Yes, well, that we had no issues last year. We did have issues 2 years ago. There's no doubt we have challenges. Rio is a older building, and we're in Las Vegas in the summer, which everyone knows is consistently over 100 degrees. But we escaped last year with no issues and hopeful to do the same this year. But Mother Nature sometimes has its way with us, and everyone's been good about adjusting. And when we had our issue, it was a day long before this special part could get ordered over a holiday weekend and all that stuff that caught us. And get fixed. So we don't anticipate any problems, but I will say that electrical, AC, and everything else, plumbing that goes that we use a lot during the World Series of Poker, all have to go through special checks internally prior to the start of the World Series of Poker and be certified and verified to be in great shape heading into the summer.
Good. The cards themselves, couple years ago, players were complaining about the flimsiness of the card or the quality. How is that going to be different this year?
Yes, the real issue then was not the card quality. It was actually the coloring used on the back of the cards and the light reflecting off of those causing problems. So it was a poor design, ultimately, what it came down to in the cards. And we've since gotten away from trying to be fancy and instead just ensure that we have what's necessary to run the tournaments. We go through 44,000 decks of cards during the World Series of Poker, and it's an important necessary tool for our events, and we're confident that the cards will be in great shape this year, and we've rectified the error of our ways in the past.
Okay. There have been a number of rumors that maybe Caesars Entertainment will be sold. How does that affect the World Series of Poker, if at all?
Well, this will be my 12th World Series of Poker, and the rumors have been going on at least 12 years because I've heard about them every year since. So I am 100% certain that the World Series of Poker will be at the Rio this Memorial Day weekend through mid-July, like it always has been, and I'm very confident it'll be there in 2020 as well. So I'm not worried about rumors or speculation. This is a big event. It brings a lot of people to town. Las Vegas likes events like that and always finds a way to host events. So World Series of Poker isn't going anywhere, and we're comfortable that we've got everything in place to have a good year at the Rio.
Very good. So we have finished with the questions that I have for you. Is there any part about the World Series this year that you feel we have not mentioned that you think is worthy of mentioning?
We covered a lot. Thanks. It was very in-depth. I appreciate all your questions, Bob. I will remind the audience that the event takes place at the Rio in Las Vegas off-strip. Parking is free. Spectating is free. You just have to be 21 years old per gaming regulations to be observing the tournament room, but everyone's welcome to come check it out at some point. We're there every day from May 28th through July 16th, and we take over the entire Rio Convention Center. And we also, in addition to running tournaments with buy-ins from $400 to $100,000 for World Series of Poker gold bracelets, we also offer a series of daily tournaments as low as $150, as well as cash games where you can sit down with any amount of money and get up at any point in time as well and participate in those. So the Rio is really the largest poker room in the world for those 50 days, and we keep 500 tables filled with cash games, satellites, daily tournaments, and gold bracelet events. And we're expecting another big, exciting year for our 50th.
The Rio also has a small poker room near the buffet entrance. Will that still be active during the World Series, or?
Yes, that remains active. That remains active and is filled. And a lot of the sort of regulars who play year-round there like to stay there, but you'll find big, big games taking place in the pavilion room in the Rio Convention Center for people who like high-stakes cash games and everything all the way down to $1, $2 live cash games. So we have over 100 cash game tables as part of the World Series of Poker offering.
Thank you very much, Seth Polansky. Wish everybody to go out and hit lots of royal flushes, although not too many on the same game at the same time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.